Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. The last day from the bedroom. There'll be no more morning shows from here. We're back to normal from next week. That's something to celebrate. Also, it's charity stream weekend. Pop it in your diary. It's the biggest news of the day. All day stream on That's Football tomorrow. Loads going on. Interactive quizzes. Raising money for charity with people with terminal illness. Links in the live chat if you want to contribute early. Some of you already have. But it's a big belabor boost this morning. Also, the Adeyemi talks develop. We were talking about it yesterday. A lot of people talking about it today. We'll talk about what that is. Schlotterbeck as well. Ivan Toney update too. What's going on with the sale? We've got an update on that. Lots and lots to talk about this morning. But we're not going to talk about Ronaldo getting sent off. What relevance has that got? What relevance has Ronaldo getting sent off for Portugal got? Other than to say, well done to Ireland. Very good result for them. Okay, so we're going to start off with belabor. The belabor transfer moves closer this morning, thanks to Onana. Do we congratulate him on this one? He's not costing us points, but effectively, belabor is moving closer to a deal to Manchester United because they will not be operating in the World Cup this summer transfer window. So apparently Onana made a mistake last night. Don't know about the, I haven't seen it, but the bad thing is Mbeumo's not going to play in the World Cup. I suppose it's a positive because he gets the summer off, etc. But looking at Mbeumo walking off the pitch last night, you know, this is a World Cup that everybody wants to play in. And I think the year he's had, not just at Manchester United, but at Brentford as well, I've got to say, I did feel very sorry for Mbeumo last night. But look, it's competitive. It's very competitive in the African nations for World Cup places. And Cameroon just fell short. Whether they'd have won the final playoff place against Nigeria anyway is up for debate. But there is a cloud and there is a silver lining to that cloud because belabor will not be competing in the World Cup. So this strengthens Manchester United's hand because we have an opportunity in the summer whereby we can go for a player like belabor and not have to worry about the World Cup. Now, we know we spoke to belabor and his agent in the last summer transfer window. We've effectively got a whole summer to negotiate the belabor deal now. We don't have to worry about World Cup camps. We don't have to worry about Cameroon getting to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. Effectively, when the Premier League season ends, this could be another Cunha, basically. We could start working on this deal way before the summer transfer window. Get it done before June the 30th. Get it in this financial year. Get a midfielder in. And I think, look, we've spoken about preferences and what we prefer to see. And I do think that I would like to see Manchester United operating well in the summer transfer window. But for me at the moment, belabor isn't actually my priority midfielder. He isn't. I still think Elliot Anderson, Angelo Stiller are ahead of belabor in my mind. Maybe even a João Gomes or a Conor Gallagher, as bad as that sounds, because belabor's playing badly. But as Ben Jacobs said yesterday, belabor is still Man United's priority. He's still very much at the top. They're not bothered about his drop in form. And they still, you know, very much like the player and possibly is our priority, possibly is our number one, based on the fact that we did try to get him in the summer. So a clear run at him in the summer, this summer coming up, I think you've got to start going. Belabor probably is the odds-on favourite to be Man United's midfield signing. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but we know what Man United are like. They're stubborn. That they also don't like deals that are difficult. They like to negotiate for a long time. We saw that with Mbeumo, and we've seen it in previous years. We like to long negotiate, and they'll be rubbing their hands together at belabor because as long as belabor keeps saying he wants to come to Manchester United, which he will, because no one else is going to go for him at the moment, the form he's in, then United can spend May, June, July just negotiating, not having to worry about the World Cup. So I think it's a boost if you want belabor this morning because we will not be impacted by a World Cup summer and we can take our time negotiating on a player that wants to come to us. Would that be the player that you would want? Well, look, it's not what we want. It's what Manchester United want, isn't it? So interesting on that one. Belabor isn't that good right now, says Sean Gardner. His price has to drop first, says Angerman. Belabor is a must, says Everything Carpy. Maybe we get Stiller and belabor, says Rocket Games. Talk about the Nico deal, says King Walker. We will talk about Schlotterbeck in a moment. Isn't Gomez last in the league, says Tishwan. Yeah, I mean, again, apologies about the ability to understand, you know, context, but Roy Keane got relegated with Nottingham Forest. Was that a mistake? Just because you get relegated doesn't mean that you're not a good player. I mean, you're telling me that if, I don't know, Fulham got relegated, you wouldn't want Anthony Robinson. Come on, grow up. Use your brain. What charity is it for, Mark? It's for the Marie Curie. We do it every year. It's the eighth year. We've raised over £200,000 over 8 years. Much more than that when you put charity aid in, probably closer to $250,000. So yeah, get involved tomorrow. Looking forward to it. And we've got interactive stuff going on throughout the day. Plus, we're doing Eubank Ben boxing watch along at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. So looking forward to it. Always nice to spend the day with you lot doing the charity work. How is Gallagher better than Belaba when he's not playing at the moment? Make that make sense, as Mac. Mate, it's called personal opinion. You've expressed yours. I've expressed mine. Ridicule it, agree with it, but I'm not changing it. I would rather go for Conor Gallagher because he can come in January. I think it'd be a decent signing for us. I can't be proven wrong or right on that because it's not happened or it might not happen. But my preference is to get a player in January and not wait until the summer. So for me, you've got to go for a Gallagher or a João Gomes in January, and I would go for Gallagher. So I've said that before. Let's talk about Nico Schlotterbeck. I think this is a very interesting story this morning. I think that it's a very interesting story, and I can't bloody find it. Here it is. It's always easier when I'm in the other room. Okay. So essentially, Schlotterbeck is a really interesting player that I think a lot of people seem to get him mixed up with the, what was the Dortmund centre back that went to Bayern Munich? And I don't know where he is now. Is it Sully, someone like that? I don't know why people seem to get him mixed up with him, because people are like, he's too old and he's too slow. And that's who they're talking about. They're not talking about Schlotterbeck. They're talking about Sully, because he went from Dortmund to Munich. I don't even know if he's still at Munich, actually. So a lot of people seem to get him mixed up with him, because I couldn't figure it out for ages when they were like, oh, he's way too slow. He's, you know, this, that and the other. But no, this is a different player. This is Schlotterbeck, Nico Schlotterbeck. He's 25. He's left-footed. Obviously, he's pretty mobile. But he's also decent on the ball. And I think that, look, there might be an aspect of 2 + 2 = 4, but he is a very interesting profile of player if Manchester United are looking at moving for a centre-back in the summer. Now, much depends here on whether we do move Harry Maguire on. If we don't move Harry Maguire on, I don't think we'll even go for a centre-back in the summer unless something happens with Lisandro Martinez. And I think those are the two factors here. If you want Man United to go and buy someone like Schlotterbeck, and we'll talk about that story in a moment, I think it's important and rational to say that a deal like this won't happen unless we do move Harry Maguire on and possibly something goes wrong with Lisandro. Because if Martinez breaks down again this season, that's 3 injuries in a very short period of time and he's 28. And you've got to look at it and go, is he ever going to week in, week out deal with the Premier League? Also, next season, ideally, we're playing 2 games a week again. So we've got a few players next season that I read a brilliant tweet 2 nights ago. I was in the bath, just flicking through the timeline. And somebody said, if we qualify for Europe next season and Amrin risks a lot of these players again, he could lose his job next season. And you might go, well, slow sports news. But I interpreted it, and maybe I take it to the next level, and maybe my point's better. What I read from that is that if next season we're in the Champions League and we don't recruit well in the summer, obviously I think we'll recruit well in the midfield, but I think we could be very vulnerable in other areas. For example, Luke Shaw, Martinez, Harry Maguire, Casemiro, Mason Mount, that's 5 players that all could be here next season. I don't think they can play 2 games a week. You can't play them 1 game a week. So you try and play them 2 games a week and you get a raft of injuries. I don't think Luke Shaw, Mason Mount, Harry Maguire, Casemiro could do Premier League weekend, Champions League midweek. I don't think they could do it. I don't think they could do it. And you can say, well, you could pick them at the weekend and leave them in Europe. That's not how it works. You've seen how competitive the Champions League is. You can't go, oh, we've got Bournemouth away at the weekend and then we're playing Real Madrid at home on Wednesday. So we'll just use you lot for that and you lot for that. Nobody does that. That's not how it works. It's so competitive in the Champions League now. So I do I do think that next season we've got to be open-minded. We can't just be like, oh, it's the midfield. I think there are other areas where we're fine this season with one game a week. I mean, look, we joke about World Cup year, but the reason Luke Shaw is fit is because he's playing one game a week and he's managing himself. I don't know whether the name Ledley King means anything to you or Paul McGrath, but these were two very, very good centre-backs whose knees were absolutely knackered. And what they used to do is they used to play one game a week, and after the game, their knees would be basically screwed. They wouldn't even train for the week. They'd do a little bit of bike work, but they wouldn't do any football work. And basically, all they really did was play on a Saturday afternoon once a week. So I think with Luke Shaw and others at the moment, I mean, they're not as bad as that. They can train, but it's just one game a week and their body's able to deal with it. I reckon next season we go to two games a week and there'll be a few players at Man United who can't deal with it. So I think when I see stories like this Schlotterbeck story, and basically the story is this, Manchester United are now leading the race for Nico Schlotterbeck. It's coming in from Football Fancast. And a few others. It's a Spanish report. I'll tell you where in a minute. They're leading the race with Barcelona and Liverpool in the race to sign Schlotterbeck, with it being revealed why the Dortmund player could be ideal for Amrin. Amrin's made it abundantly clear he's unwilling to compromise on his principles and to change the three at the back system. Luke Shaw's predominantly been used this season, although the 30-year-old has struggled at times. And it goes on to say that the Englishman, according to reports from Spain, Man United have now moved into pole position in the race to sign Dortmund star Schlotterbeck, having overtaken Liverpool and Barcelona, given their good relationships with the German club. The German has now been identified as a priority target for United, as there is a feeling he could be ideal, given that he's 25, left-footed, physical, and has real quality in possession of the ball. Contract due to expire in 2027. Dortmund are willing to sanction a departure in the summer should they receive a fair offer, putting the United Red Devils in a strong position. So look, you know, contract, age, profile, interesting. A lot of people are going to get excited about that. For me, I like Schlotterbeck, but I think there's a lot of if, buts and maybes in the November international break for us to be talking about that. But what I do completely agree with is that we've got to solve the midfield problem, but we have got to look beyond the midfield problem. I think, as I say, one game a week, the squad looks great, but any decent football club focuses on the now primarily, but also has an eye on the future. And if this season goes well, and I think many of us think it can, next season will be harder. And what I do not want to see this is that we have a really positive season. We get into the top five. We're into the Champions League. Everyone's singing we're back. And then the following season, we sack Amrin. For example, Jose Mourinho wins two trophies, takes us into Champions League, finishes second, and then we sack him the following Christmas. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer takes us to Europa League final, gets us to second place, and we sack him before Christmas. Erik ten Hag takes us to two cups, and then we sack him. We've had positives with Solskjaer, Ten Hag and Mourinho where we thought we were heading towards something, and within a year we've sacked them. So I think next season, and I know it's not for now, but I just want to say we need to be looking at things beyond the midfield, because things could go very wrong very quickly when we basically double our workload, hopefully next season. So yeah, keep an eye on Schlotterbeck. Interested in that one. Also, I'm not going to bleed this story dry, because we did talk about it yesterday. Some of you liked it, some of you didn't. There's a question I need to answer in relation to your comments, because I do read your comments. I just don't really bother getting involved in them unless it's a live show. So Manchester, this is from Plettigol, who works in Germany. So Bild yesterday had the report about George Mendes representing Adeyemi, having talks with Manchester United, separate entity, separate story. We then get Plettigol, who works for Sky Germany in Germany, reputable German transfer journalist. He says Man United have inquired about Adeyemi and obtained information from George Mendes. The situation continues to be monitored. Dortmund is still pushing to extend Adeyemi's contract, but no agreement has been reached. It remains unclear whether Dortmund will actually include a release clause in the new deal. However, Adeyemi / Mendes want to have one included. So the Adeyemi story does take a twist in the sense that it's becoming more vocal, the Man United and Adeyemi links. Now, I said to you yesterday, I would like to see Adeyemi signing for Manchester United. I would. And I've had a lot of comments with a lot of likes on the video yesterday morning. And I was having a little laugh with my coffee because people were saying, oh, this is the guy who said in the summer, we don't need Semenyu, we've got Cunha and Mbeumo. So why does he now want Adeyemi? Yeah, good one, bro. Yeah, another comment. Yeah, this is from the guy who said he doesn't need another number 10 because we've got Cunha and Mbeumo. Literal thinkers, red or green thinkers, nothing in between thinkers, not amber thinkers, no context thinkers. I'll explain it to you. Apologies to those who already understood, but I'll explain it to you. With Semenyu, certain outlets talk shit. Kept linking us to Semenyu that we were in talks with him when we never were. We were never in talks with Semenyu. Oh, Man United are in for Semenyu. Man United are in talks for Semenyu. We were never in talks with Semenyu. Cunha was priority number one. We had that deal done in March. We just finalized it in, was it May or June? And then Mbeumo was option two. And we got him done. We started talking to him in May and we got the deal done in July. We never had advanced talks with Semenyu. So Semenyu talks, I've always been dismissive of because I know we weren't in advanced talks with him. In the summer, I probably have said we don't need Semenyu because we've got Cunha and Mbeumo in the summer. Do we need another 10 at the moment? No. We need midfielders. Absolutely. We need midfielders. We need a backup striker. You could argue we need a wing back. We need all those people before we need another number 10. But we're talking about next summer. We're not talking about the January transfer window. We're not talking about last summer. We're talking about next summer. And what I've just spoken about there is that if Mason Mount can't deal with two games a week and Xerxes is gone and Bruno is gone, then you're basically down to Cunha, Mbeumo, Ahmad. And you'd start all three of them because Ahmad would play right wing back. So looking at someone like Adeyemi then could make sense. Looking at someone like Semenyu then could make sense. So next summer, which is when this deal would happen, it could make sense. But not now, not last summer, and not in the January transfer window. So I hope that makes sense to you. We don't need a 10 at the moment. To put the cherry on the top of that, I like Adeyemi. So I'm not a massive... I think Semenyu is a very good player, but he's not a player that makes me go, oh, I think he could be generational. You know, I think Adeyemi could go to Liverpool and be the next Mo Salah. I've said that before. I think he can go to Barcelona and be a fantastic player. I like Adeyemi. You might really like a player that we don't need. Like, you might really like, I don't know, might be a goalkeeper that you really like. You might like the Barcelona keeper. We don't need them because we've got Lemens, but you might like them. So I like Adeyemi. Do I think we're in for him? Honestly, I think it is time to bring it out because it is the last international break before a transfer window and there's a lot going on. We do need to remember the five principles of a transfer that we basically invented this. Maybe we should trademark it. Don't get me started on that. Somebody on the watch along for England last night said that Cole Palmer wants to trademark the words Cole Palmer and the celebration. And got a massive problem with trademarking the words Cole Palmer, because why would you ever say that unless you are talking about Cole Palmer? But he can't trademark I'm fucking cold. I mean, he didn't come up with that. As I said, people on the Titanic were waiting to sink going like that. What was Cole Palmer going to do? Get in the bloody DeLorean, go back to the future and say, that'll be 10 grand each. Yeah, we're freezing cold and we're about to, you know, sink to our frozen death. No, you're using my thing. It's ridiculous, ridiculous. But anyway, we probably should trademark the five principles. We're not going to trademark the five principles of a transfer. But when I look at this Adeyemi story, I go five things. One, it's totally true. One, it's totally bullshit. Three, it's the club using Man United to, you know, generate interest from other people. I don't think it's that. Four, it's the player trying to get a contract at Dortmund using his agent. Or five, it's the player using Man United to get interest from other people. I think it could fall into either of those categories. It could be totally true, but I think it's one of the three. We either genuinely are interested in Adeyemi, or we're being used as a, you know, negotiation tool for the contract he wants at Dortmund, or three, we're being used to generate interest from other clubs for a transfer. Take your pick. I think at the moment, I wouldn't like to say what it is. I'd like to think it's true at some point, but it could also... Actually, you know what? Let me be honest. I think this ends in him signing a new contract at Dortmund, if I'm being completely fair. Because, yeah, I just feel that that's probably the way it's going to go. But I do like them. I do like him. Okay, let me have a quick look at some of your comments coming in this morning. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this Friday. Don't forget the all-day charity stream tomorrow. What's this thing about Belabor? Well, you should have been here for 10 o'clock. The thing about Belabor is that I think quite clearly from what Ben Jacobs said yesterday, he probably is one of the number one midfield targets for United based on the fact that we did try to sign him in the summer. And United have a very big history of not moving on from targets. Sancho, Lindelof, there's a few others as well. So he probably is top of the list. We can't do it in January. We're going to try and do it in... We're going to try and go for somebody big in the summer, and it probably is going to be Belabor over Anderson, because Anderson will be playing in the World Cup for England and Belabor will be completely summer off because Cameroon didn't qualify for the World Cup. Watchers spend 100 million for Belabor, says Hyans. Mbeumo cost Cameroon, not Anana's fault, says Peace Love. Okay. Belabor was hooked at half time in a crucial World Cup qualifier for his nation. I think we should pass on him unless it's a loan for him. Prove his worth. Plus, Anana did not make any mistake last night, says Z is boss. I don't know. I was just going off what people were saying on the live chat. I don't know. I also don't know whether Belabor got subbed at half time for Cameroon, but I mean, I'd be surprised if he was getting subbed off for Cameroon at halftime. But you know what? Some people think it's the solution. I'm taking Iheanacho from Sporting over Nico, says Malik. I think that's a very interesting name, mate. It's a very interesting name. I'd be interested to know what... Look, if you're asking me whether I want Schlotterbeck, Branthwaite or Iheanacho, I'd avoid Branthwaite because of the price. If I want Iheanacho or Schlotterbeck, I'd leave it down to Amrin. Amrim's obviously played with Iheanacho. He's played in the system. But, you know, again, there are interesting profiles of defenders available in a position that we might want to strengthen in. I don't think you can go into next... The interesting thing is, I would argue, out of all the left-sided centre-backs we've got at the moment, Aidan Heaven might be the most reliable, simply because I just don't think Luke Shaw is going to be able to stay fit for that long. And Martinez is a bit of an unknown quantity after a bad injury. I like Gallagher, but he's definitely not a six/pivot, says Nick. He definitely is. I don't know whether you ever watched him play for Chelsea, but he definitely played in a midfield too. Personally, I think United need to sign Stiller, says Rajaf. I like Stiller. Emily Derry says, and we still have multiple players who down tools on managers when the going got tough, i.e. Games in Europe and demanding styles of play. Thank you very much, Emily, for your comment this morning. The difference is Amrim's start was shit, says Rajaf. And also Seth with a super chat says, I think he will be a good left signing left footed. We can move Shaw to left wing back to have squad depth. Our left side is really poor. Cunha is struggling because of it, says Seth. I mean, to be honest with you, Seth, you're not the first person to mention putting Luke Shaw at left wing back. And I really don't mind us doing that. But I don't think it's possible. I mean, fight me on it. Verbally, like I genuinely do not think that Luke Shaw can play left back or left wing back anymore. You know, you look at O'Reilly at Manchester City, or Mendes at PSG, or you know, even people like Lewis Hall when they're playing for Newcastle, or Anthony Robinson when he's fit, or Kirkes at Bournemouth last year, or even Andy Robertson now. It's probably one of the most demanding roles on the pitch, apart from midfield. Like, I think midfield is probably the most demanding position because you're running back and forth and back and forth. In a United shirt, it's a lot of running because it's basketball, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. There is no possession. And I also think it's the same if you're the wingers in an Amrin system. It's back, it's forward, it's back, it's forward. When I see the opposition with the ball, I can clearly see a back five. When we're on the attack, I'm like, where's Ahmad? Where's Dorgu or Dalot? And they are there. So it's back and forward, it's back and forward. Luke Shaw can't do that. You know, the running Luke Shaw would do at left wing back compared to left centre back, I don't have the stats, but I would say I wouldn't say it's double, but if Luke Shaw does 100% of running at left centre back, put him at left wing back, I think he'd probably have to do another 30% of running, which obviously with a body like that is going to struggle, isn't it? So I don't think Luke Shaw can go back there, even though he's a very good left back. I don't think he can do it anymore. Hi, Mark. With Forest reportedly facing PSR issues, I think United will try to sign Anderson in June before the end of the financial year for 65 or 75 million, says Andy. Well, if you didn't watch the show last night, Andy, I can add a little bit more to that. Ben Jacobs, again, on the afternoon show yesterday, confirming that the price for Anderson will be considerably lower than £100 million, and that's from people close to Anderson. So there are clearly parameters where a deal can be done for around 65 to 75 million pounds anyway, without Forest's PSR issues. That will be in his contract with nothing to do with PSR. So by the sounds of it, Anderson can be got for 65, 75 anyway. Is Boadi linked with us? Huge potential, says Somnath. I've not heard anything about that. Slazy says playing one game a week is a double-edged sword. It's good for the rice cake knee players, but our bench players don't get any minutes. Kagawa, Mkhitaryan, Sancho, stay clear of the Bundesliga, says Rory C. Well, there you go. Stay clear of the Bundesliga. And yet we can all probably name lots and lots and lots and lots of players from the Bundesliga that have done very, very well. Off the top of my head straight away, I would say Gravenberch. I would say Haaland. There's bloody loads. Why am I having a brain fart on this? Ekitike looks good. Mamouche looks very good. I'm trying to go with recent ones. I mean, obviously, Sesko, the jury's out. I actually think that the Bundesliga suits the Premier League style of play very well. So I disagree with that one. And there's also plenty of players that have been Premier League proven that are not... That haven't worked as well. So, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that one. Just talking about midfield, by the way, I don't know whether you saw it yesterday. I can't remember the source. A few people were talking about it online last night, and I didn't have time because we did a 7 o'clock show instead of an 8 o'clock show. We have got an 8 o'clock show tonight. De Bruyne came in from the Bundesliga as well. That's not United Road says it's because you have a contract with the Bundesliga. I don't have a contract with the Bundesliga. I don't get paid by the Bundesliga. The United Stands got nothing to do with it. We don't get anything from Bundesliga. That's football's a completely different entity. We can say what bloody well like about the Bundesliga on here. Doesn't matter. The point is, I would like to sign Adeyemi. I would like to sign Stiller. I would like to sign Nusa. I quite like the look of Diamande at Leipzig as well. I think he's going to be a very interesting player. Ozan at Frankfurt, I think he's a good player. So I think there's a few players I would like to take from there. But look, talk about Kone for a moment. There was an interesting story yesterday. I don't know the validity of the story and where it was coming from. Maybe some of you can tell me. But there was talk of Manchester United loaning Kone out in January. And it was met with some consternation, and also, you know, some people agreed with it. I think that if we're not using Kone and we're not using Obi, they should be loaned out ASAP. Amas is a very similar profile to them, and he is doing fantastically well in the Championship at Sheffield Wednesday. If you could give me Kone to a Championship club for the rest of the season, I'll take it now. If you could put Obi in a Championship club for the rest of the season, I'd take it now. I want these players to play for Manchester United. But in all reality, what are we smoking? What are we smoking? Because is Kone going to start in the midfield for Man United and play every week? No, No, he's not. He has, you know, misplaces one pass and everyone will go, he's shit. I think this is a very intelligent move, and I hope it does happen. And I hope Obi happens with Obi as well. And I also hope it happens with Mainu. If we're not going to use them, I'm not the manager of Manchester United. So I'm not the manager. Get them out on loan. Of course, I want them to be Man United players, but they're not. And Kone's had a bad head injury, hasn't he, to be fair? But they need to play football. I just don't believe. I was watching the podcast with Robbie Fowler, Scholes and Butt. And I haven't watched it all. I was just listening to about 10 minutes of it. And they were talking about training. And I remember Paul Ince saying this on the United Stand. I've spoken to a few players like this, Ben Foster, a couple of other Man United ex-players. And, you know, you listen, and I've heard it so many times, and they talk about training. And I think Nicky Butt said, Mark Hughes and Brian McClair, who were good players at Man United when they were coming through, he said, they were shit in training, basically. They couldn't care. They didn't give a shit about training. They weren't bothered about training. They weren't very good in training. And then on a Saturday, they'd be two of the best players on the pitch. And then Robbie Fowler was saying, look, yeah, exactly the same. And he said, to be honest with you, it wasn't like I didn't try in training. It's just at the start of the week, I'd just go through the motions. And then towards the end of the week, I'd step it up a little bit towards the game. But I wasn't putting it in. And then Scholes, he was saying, well, you know, like Roy Keane's theory was that you should train as hard as you're going to play on a Saturday. And some people do, and some people don't. But the point is, when we're talking about Kone, and we're talking about Obi, and we're talking about Mainu, and we're talking about Xerxes, and all these players that aren't getting any game time, and then you hear people saying, yeah, but they are training all week. Bog off. There ain't no way. And I've had so many anecdotes, and logically, it makes sense as well. I've never heard somebody say, in my whole time watching football, listening to interviews, I've never heard anybody say, training is the same as playing a game on a Saturday afternoon. I've never heard that. And what I have heard is there are some players that are brilliant in training and shit in a match. And there are some people who at training are crap and then brilliant on a Saturday. So, you know, these young players, when they're training with the first team, some people get really excited. And it is a positive that they're getting a look. But they're not getting what you'd get playing in the Championship like Harry Amass is this season. That is the golden ticket. And you're either going to get picked for Man United like Rashford did when he was young, or Rooney when he was young. Obviously, we bought him. Training with the first team, I just think, other than the first month or two where you're just getting used to it, the next step is to play. And if Kone's not going to play and he can have 5 months in a Championship club for the rest of the season, absolutely. I did feel that there might be a chance that Amrin might use him. But if Amrin is looking at him and going, he ain't ready. And let's not forget, we're playing one game a week. We've got to get Champions League football. He ain't using Mainu and Ugarte. So what chances that Amrin goes, ooh, got a really important game at home to Crystal Palace today. Let's start Kone in the midfield. I just don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to take risks. He drops Yoro for Maguire in big games. Not because he doesn't rate Yoro, but I think he brings Maguire in for experience and he needs the points. So I don't think Kone looks like he's going to get much of a look in. So a loan deal probably does make sense, to be fair. You think we'll see Kokonki next season, says Daniel? I don't know. I mean, this is the whole point, isn't it? Maybe we do need to start looking at loaning some of these players out, because I'll tell you what, as I say, I don't want to keep talking about it, but the Harry Amass loan deal has been fantastic. We should only loan players to teams with a three at the back, says Malik. And Silent Bishop says, really feel we're dropping the ball on Xerxes. Suits the system perfectly. Can create channels for the number 10s. Amad's running behind. Betty flourishes wherever he goes, says Silent Bishop. Well, it's interesting because you bring us on to the striker conversation. And I saw this today that... Where was it? It was about Ivan Toney. Ali director Rui Pedrez Braz says Ivan Toney is a top player, a top striker. The rumors around his possible exit in January are not based on reality. It's just not true. We're counting on him. It makes zero sense to address this subject in November. So obviously we'd heard from Ben Jacobs that Ivan Toney, World Cup year, might fancy a loan back to the Premier League 4 months to put himself in the line for an England call-up. I think that makes a lot of sense for Ivan Toney, by the way. I think if you can go on loan to a Premier League club, score a few goals, you probably go to the World Cup. So I can understand why you want to do that. And to be honest with you, Harry Kane's playing a lot of football. Harry Kane gets injured and suddenly it's not necessarily Ollie Watkins, is it? It could be Ivan Toney. So you can understand why Toney might be pushing for it, but he is under contract and he is on ridiculous wages. And the Saudi club basically saying that that's, you know, not going to happen. So why am I mentioning that? Because I think it fits perfectly into what Silent Bishop was saying about Xerxes. He's going to want to go for the same reasons maybe Ivan Toney does. But where would Man United get a replacement from? So, you know, you've got to keep an eye on that. We can only really let Xerxes go if we get a replacement in. And we can only really let Mainoo go if we get a replacement in. And if Man United don't go for replacements, then those players are going to end up sat down. But I do agree with you as well. I think with regards to Xerxes, we spend a lot of time talking about is he going, isn't he going? And I can't remember a player actually in their first 18 months who's been linked to leaving as much as he has. I mean, even in the first month he was here, we had we signed him in the June, all the way till Christmas, virtually every week he was going to an Italian club. Then in January, I'm staying, did quite well, got injured, and then we are where we are now. But he's been linked to leaving this club ever since he bloody signed for us. It's weird. I do think that when you look at the accusations laid at Sesko, his inability to hold the ball up and play others in, that's literally what Xerxes would be all about. But you've got to respect the manager, haven't you? As much as I look at it and sort of think, you know, it probably would be worth a go, especially in games where, what was the game where we needed to take Sesko off? Forest. I think in that game, it felt like Xerxes for 20 minutes couldn't have done any worse, but he didn't do it. To me, for whatever reason, it looks like Amrin doesn't rate Xerxes. Whether that changes between now and the end of the season, I don't know. But if we can't find a replacement, I think he'll end up staying for the season. I'd bring back Rasmus in January. Top four is seriously up for grabs as Viking crypto warrior. I don't think we can. I don't think we can bring him back. I don't think it's contractually possible. I'm fed up not getting super chats read out, says Viking crypto warrior. And yet, I just read yours. I mean, the timing of that's incredible, but there you go. Ahmad is the perfect example for these young players. What you're basically saying is you're fed up of not being having your super chats read out instantly, aren't you? Well, and I can't promise you that, mate. I can't, because we're in a conversation and we talk about it and then we move on to the next one, which is exactly what we did. Chip says, Ahmad is the perfect example for these young players. Several championship loans, struggling to get minutes in the first team. Now he's one of our best players. It's a well-used topic, Chip, and it's a fair point. You know, you look at Ahmad, you look at the loans to Rangers and Sunderland, and you look at how well that went for him. Not necessarily Rangers, but Sunderland. And then you look at how well things are going for him at Manchester United, and you go, that's the way to do it. However, I think that what's really important to consider is that Manchester United were actively looking to loan Ahmad and on multiple occasions, Sunderland, then Rangers, then Sunderland. At the moment, and that worked well, and we actively looked to loan Ahmad. But at the moment, we're not actively looking to loan Mainoo. We're not actively looking to loan Obi. And I think that's where I would jump in and say, well, come on. If we're not using them, Viking Crypto Warrior says, apologies, it's absolutely fine, mate, don't worry. I think that's really important. Nelly says, personally, Mark, I don't mind about Belaba dropping form. Who is to say he's copying Jokeres, Isak? I hope you read this one. Yeah, but Jokeres and Isak were on strike in the summer transfer window. They weren't doing it in a bloody Sporting shirt or a Newcastle shirt. It's completely different. I do have a problem with a player that's contractually stuck at Brighton. He can't leave. He can't leave until January, and he's put it in stinkers. I don't think that's a trait I want at Man United. So I absolutely do not want a player that's purposely playing badly. And I don't think he is purposely playing badly, but that's what you're saying. I don't want a player that's downing tools at Brighton to get a move to Man United. Because when he's 25 and Real Madrid come along, He'll do the same to us. It's the same what Anthony did. Anthony went on strike at Ajax. We were all going, oh, yeah, he really wants Man United. Basically did the same thing here to get a move to Betis. So, you know, I don't want players with those traits anymore. I want players that, you know, get their head down and go, I'm at Brighton at the moment. There's nothing I can do about it. So I'm just going to get my head down and work hard. Imagine if it came to light that Belabor's purposely playing badly so he can get the price down for Man United. I mean, God, that would be, I would hate that. And that's not what's happening, by the way, but I would absolutely hate that. Philip sat around the pool in Spain watching I don't want to get Belabor. Philip, I'm looking out my window. It's definitely not sunny. It is absolute torrential rain. It's a horrible, horrible day here. So cheers. Have a sangria and enjoy it because the weather here is rubbish. Somebody just mentioned Sesko. I've not heard anything about Sesko at all, other than the injury is not bad and the timeline for his return is probably going to be sort of post Crystal Palace. I don't think he's back for the Everton game, but yeah, he should be back soon. A few people talking about Adeyemi. We have been linked to a goalkeeper. We've been linked to Yabby Guerra again as well. God, didn't he sign a new contract at Valencia? Oh, I saw this from Solskjaer. This is quite good. The 3-4-3, or whatever you want to call it, it's horrible to play against when it's done well. If you try to press it high, it's really difficult. The first team I remember doing it properly in our era was Basel against Liverpool. You almost have to go man-to-man, follow every run, track everything, and even then it's tough. When it works, it's brilliant, but you need teams to press you for it to really click. You see what United now, they tend to win more games when they've got 45 to 50% possession rather than 60 to 65% possession. I spoke about this yesterday, but I hadn't didn't delve into it as much depth. I don't think Solskjaer's reinventing the wheel there. I just think it's more mainstream, so people understand it a little bit more. Like, this is exactly what we've been talking about for weeks. Our system works really well when teams want to attack us, Liverpool, etc. It does. And that's why we've got 50% possession, 45% possession. If you sit back against us, it doesn't work so well. It's more of a battle. So I think that the evolution of the Amorim system over the next 12 months is going to be very interesting. He's got to keep being given players that make the team better and therefore make the system better. I still think he's got four, and I'm thinking of a fifth player. Let's say four, possibly five first-team players that don't suit his system that would instant... I mean, look, I don't know whether Sir Jim Ratcliffe understands football enough to know this, but as a Manchester United fan, you will. When I look at that Manchester United side and I look at Amorim's system and I look at the results we've had this season and the potential that's there to kick on, I can go, take you out, put you in, 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 and possibly take you out and put you in. And I'm not using players from the squad. I'm signing players. And every signing I make makes us better. And obviously two of them are midfielders. Like, if I take Bruno and Casemiro out and bring in two midfielders, we're a much better team tomorrow. But there are other positions we can do that with. And I think that's, you know, we can over... I mean, look, it wasn't that long ago where everywhere, every radio station, every news article was talking about he needs to change his formation. It literally feels like yesterday and for the previous year, everybody's been saying he needs to change his formation. And now, for the last couple of weeks, it's like, oh, that formation's really hard to play against. And yet we've had 12 months of it's really easy to play against and it doesn't work in the Premier League. So excuse me for being a little bit reticent to go, oh, yeah, because everyone's been slagging it off for so long. What I think about Amorim's system and Amorim's formation is that it's a redundant conversation because until he's got the players for it, it was always going to have its problems. Even though it's doing quite well at the moment, I still think it can do better.
I think that's why, for me, the system and formation conversation was always ridiculous, because he hasn't necessarily got the players to make it work. And even though it's working to a certain extent, we've been to Anfield and won, I still would look at the team that played against Liverpool and go, it could be better. There's four players I would move and four players I would sign to make it better. And that's where I look at the board and I go, I hope you're looking at that. I hope you're not looking at it and going, oh, we're getting good results. You know, let's keep going. Like, there literally has to be four or five signings for the first team and another four for the bench. And as that happens, we will get better. Yeah. I use it in FIFA. I can't do it, mate. I can't do a 3-4-3. I'm going to do it on the charity stream tomorrow on the draft just for a laugh, but I can't play a 3-4-3. I've never been able to play it. I'm too ingrained in a back four. Even when I used to play Sabutio as a kid, it was a back four, 4-4-2. The trouble with a 3-4-3 for me is that it too easily becomes a 5-5, a back five. And the problem I have with it, hypothetically, look, I back Amrin. This is what we do. Let's hope it works. But I'm a back four guy at heart. I don't want to sack Amrin. I wouldn't replace him now. People don't understand this. I can't change my life in the fact that I prefer a back four. But I do support Amrin and I want him to do well. And maybe we'll play 3-4-3 for the next 100 years at Man United and it'll become to the next generation what back four was to me. But the problem I have with it is that when it becomes a back five, I'm losing an attacker. If I play a back four, I'm basically removing one of, you know, I'm losing Luke Shaw, basically. I have De Ligt and Yoro as centre-backs, which I'm happy with. And then I've got my full-backs. Luke Shaw doesn't take me down to 10 men, though. I put him in the midfield or I put him in the attack. So I get an extra attacker. That's why I don't like a 3-4-3 or a 5, because it's like when you're defending, you basically lose an attacker. But if your wide players are wingers, technically you gain an attacker. And that's how it's meant to work. Yeah, Sabutio is an elite nostalgia reference, Brian C. Thank you very much for that. Okay, fantastic show this morning. We've nearly hit 8,000 viewers. I just want to say we are back at 2 o'clock as usual, and the 8 o'clock show tonight is in its 8 o'clock slot after last night's 7 o'clock slot, even though I scheduled it for 8 and then went live at 7. So apologies, that was on me. Just a few shout outs. So tomorrow I will be on the morning show at 10 o'clock and then straight after we'll be going over to Bats Football for our all day charity stream. We do this every year on the middle Saturday of the international break in November. We're raising money for people with serious illness. It's the Marie Curie charity. We will be going from 11 a.m. UK time until at least midnight. So, because we've got the boxing watch along to do, we've got some really interactive quizzes. Seb's going to be getting involved. He wants to play Simpsons Fortnite, whatever that is. And he reckons he's going to beat me at FC 26, but he won't. So that'll be good. And yeah, ultimately, we are raising money. That's what it's all about. The one day of the year where we do focus on something and try and achieve it collectively for good. Slow Sports News has already done it. A couple of people already done it. The link is on the live chat now. The Just Giving page is there. Preferably do it through the Just Giving page because all of it goes through to charity and you can do gift aid. If you can't do it through that, then tomorrow you can do super chats on That's Football, but YouTube do take a percentage of that. But yeah, let's see if we can hit £1,000 before we even start. I've done that before. That'd be great. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. I will see you on the 8 o'clock show tonight live, and just popping it in your head for tomorrow. The weather's going to be crap anyway. Spend the day with us raising money for charity. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you all in a bit.